Welcome to the Should've Bet More podcast presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show, Julian Edlow of DraftKings will join us. We will discuss a little bit of everything. It is that time of the year. We'll do some college football, some NFL, Summer League, NBA Summer League. He's betting that, and I know he bets it and bets it well, so we'll get his thoughts on that. NBA offseason moves. He's in Boston, maybe talk a little Patriots. So, hey, it's that time of the year where you just kind of mix and match. We've done a lot of baseball recently. I'm actually going to start with some NFL and if you've heard me on some of these other shows, VSiN and some of these other places, you're probably sick of hearing it, but I've asked a lot of my guests their thoughts on NFL. I haven't really given a lot of my thoughts on NFL. I am huge on the Jets this year. That is probably my favorite bet is the Jets win the division, win the AFC. They're 15-1 to be the last winless team. If you think they can beat San Francisco, their schedule gets a lot easy. I know people that picked them last year got burned, but sometimes it is the year after. And I was talking about this with Bear on Sunday, on Monday when we did the show. Sometimes it is the post-hype sleeper, that is the expression for it, where everyone picks them, whether it's a player or a team, everyone's all excited, they disappoint, and then everyone's off them. I think this could be the year. Now, you got to keep Rodgers healthy. He's 40. He's coming off a major injury. There's a lot to deal with there. I don't get involved with the off-field stuff, the RFK, and the political view. I have no interest, and I think that's why a lot of people are rooting against them. A lot of people are a little bit down on the Jets. I think that's why they're underrated, because after the 49ers, they play the Titans, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Vikings on a neutral field, the Jets at home, and a lot of these games earlier after San Francisco are home. They have a very manageable schedule. Texans at home, at the Cardinals, Colts at home. It's not that bad of a schedule. And when you look at the AFC, every team, there's so many good teams. Every team has basically a gauntlet of a schedule because there's so many good teams, there's so many good quarterbacks. And if you just look up opponents' expected wins, Jets' opponents are expected to win a combined 120 games. You compare that with the rest of the teams in that division. Bills' opponents are expected to win 140 games. Miami's opponents are expected to win 142 games. And if you look at Miami's schedule, especially the end of the year, it's a team that doesn't travel well. They play at Green Bay, at Cleveland, and at the Jets the last month of the season. Now, we saw what that looked like when they went outdoors in Kansas City. That's not a team. They're a soft. They're an indoors team. They're a warm-weather team. They're a prototypical warm-weather team. And if you take them out of their element, you really throw them off their game, and they're going to be thrown off their game a lot the last month of the season. And you look at the Bills' schedule. The Bills play every team that was in the conference title game last year. So Chiefs, Ravens, 49ers, Lions. They obviously get two against the Jets in division, two against the Dolphins in division, and they have to play at the Texans. So that's 9 of their 17 games. The Jets, I just kind of went through some of their schedule. The Jets, like I said, their opponents, 120 expected wins. It's really a pretty manageable schedule for New York. And the flip side of Miami, the Jets get these warm weather teams in New York late in the season. They get the Rams in New York late in the season. That's a warm weather team. They get the Dolphins the last game of the season, January 5th in New York. So if you can keep Rodgers healthy with the improved offensive line, the defense is top 5, I think, in the league. And that was with a bad team, a bad quarterback, where they were always on the field. They were always having to win the game, 13-10. This year, they can breathe a little bit. They're not going to be on the field as much. And they can go into the game and say, hey, if we give up 17 points, we can still win the game. So I think they're really good. The fact that they were able to win 7 games last year with basically a quarterback, they didn't have one quarterback that is going to throw a pass in the league this year, whether it was Wilson, whether it was Tim Boyle. They did not have an NFL quarterback on the roster. Who was the other guy? Simeon. None of those guys will throw a pass in the NFL this season, I would think. And they still won 7 games without an NFL quarterback. Hall, Wilson, a much, much better offensive line. I worry about the coach, but to me, this is a loaded roster. I would not surprise. Look, it's hard to pick over the Chiefs. It's hard to pick a Jets team that hasn't made the playoffs in forever to sit here in July and say, hey, they're going to be in the Super Bowl over the Chiefs. But if they were in the division round, the conference championship, I would not be surprised. This is an elite team in terms of the roster, in terms of the talent. So to me, 15-1 to be the last undefeated team, over their win total, plus 190 to win the division. I know there's some better numbers out there. I think Circa had plus 210. So to me, I'm all in on the Jets. I believed in them last year, full disclosure. It didn't work out. And who knows, even if Rodgers didn't get hurt that first game, he probably would have gotten hurt at some point because the offensive line was that bad. It got so much better with the draft, trades, free agencies. To me, that is my favorite pick as we get closer, at least to the preseason starting August 1st. We're sitting here July 10th. So what, 3 weeks away? 3 weeks away, and then September 5th, Chiefs, Ravens, Chiefs laying 3. Then the Friday night, man, there's just so much more football now. Friday night, Eagles, Packers, we get that first Friday game. We're going to have college football playoffs starting in December. So we're just, there's so much more on it. You know, you sit here in the summer and it's sometimes hard to come up with topics or big picture things. Baseball is a day-to-day sport, but there's not those big picture things that you can discuss. Football, once football gets here and you have NFL, college football, Major League Baseball playoffs and pennant races, man, it's just going to be a fun time of the year. There's going to be almost, you go from having like not enough content to too much content. So excited, but I am high on this Jets team. I really think they are a legitimate team. 9.5 is the win total. I do like the over. They're 20-1 at DraftKings to win the whole thing. I mean, you're not getting a great, you're not like you're getting 30, 40-1. I understand you probably want a little more than 20-1, but I do think this team is absolutely live as they are, like I said, 20-1 to win the whole thing, 11-1 to win the AFC. I don't think those are bad bets. I think as long as you can get like B plus play out of Rodgers and some semblance of the player he was 2 or 3 years ago, I think this team is really, really good top to bottom. So we will see. Should be fun. And remember, the Chiefs, it's easy to say now, hey, they're unbeatable. They won two straight. Mahomes never loses. They were very vulnerable. They could have easily lost to they could have easily lost to the 49ers. This was a team that looked all sorts of vulnerable throughout the season. They were a 5-point underdog to the Ravens, even though they led that game wire to wire. It's the NFL. All of these games are close, and what you think you know in July might not come true come December, January going forward. So excited to get closer here for the NFL. Let's see what Julian Edlow thinks about the NFL, college football, summer league. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. That is next. This is a Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him on the DraftKings. He's been on this podcast before, and he joins us again. It is DraftKings Julian Edlow. Julian, what's up, man? It's been a while. You've been playing hard to get. Happy to finally have you.
You try to grab me on bad days, man. I'm widely available, and you seem to pick the bad ones. Hopefully, your betting picks are going better than your days that you try and select me for this podcast. But I'm happy to be on. You know, we're past July 4th. This is kind of the relaxing time of the year outside of football and basketball season, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yes, trying to book you is when I'm like, oh, the line's -3, you go to bet it, and then it's all 3 -120 or 3.5. That's what it feels like.
I'll put you in touch with my assistant.
How are you spending the last few weeks? Because before you know it, it will be football. So we still got a month, 6 weeks before college football. What are you betting? What are you how are you passing the time here in these summer months?
Betting a little too much baseball. It's not going well this year. Not one of my strong suits at all, but it's, you know, kind of that time of the year where if you're going to bet something, you're betting baseball. And that's something that I'm trying to limit if we're being honest, and spend more of that time looking ahead to football. I'll probably bet a little bit of summer league, which I think we're going to touch on. That's never something you want to go too heavy on. A couple of years ago, I was actually out in Vegas working with VSiN covering it, which you would think would help. And I had a pretty poor summer in summer league. And then last summer I was home, didn't go out to Vegas, did very well betting summer league. So make a break here, I guess, this year. We'll see how it goes. But I'll focus on a little bit of summer league. But I'm really mostly just out to college football, NFL futures, looking at schedules, looking at games of the year and that type of thing, and getting all that prepared.
With summer league, I know some people, and I don't think this is a bad approach to say, hey, these are all exhibition games. I'm just going to take the underdog and take the points, or take the underdog on the money line. Is that a way to approach it, or you actually handicap it in the rosters and usage and things like that?
Yeah, I don't hate going after dogs. If there's, you know, a growing favorite, is there a reason that favorite has grown? Is there a reason that number has moved so much, and has it moved enough? Is there still any value there? You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I was out in Vegas at the game. I specifically made a point to set aside Thunder Magic. That was going to be Chet Holmgren and Banchero playing going into their rookie years. So I made sure that I was going to be ready to cover that game. And I liked OKC going into the game, bet OKC. I want to say it was around a pick. I can't remember. But then Orlando shut Banchero down for the rest of summer league, and it flew to 4 or 5. And I was like, well, I don't even know if that's enough. But paying attention to this news, like the first couple of days, most of these teams are going to be playing the guys on their roster. And I know I'll shout out Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT from VSiN, has done a great job gathering all the rosters that teams will bring into Summer League. The first couple games, guys are going to play. It's after that where better players get shut down for the rest of Summer League, or they scatter. We're going to play these eight guys Wednesday and these eight guys Thursday. And it's that that you need to find the news on. And it's not easy to find. Sometimes it is when these teams come out to warm up after the previous game, you have to find a beat reporter that tweets who's on the court warming up and who's going to play. So it's tedious. I would recommend being cautious. Like if you're on the fence about a bet, I would recommend not betting it, to be honest. Like wait 5 minutes. Maybe you'll get the news you want. Or just watch the start of the game and see who's playing and then bet it live, which you can easily do on DraftKings these days, live bet Summer League. So I would be cautious, but it's kind of the opposite of everything else. I kind of want to be more aggressive early when I know who's playing. And then as it winds on, I kind of get out of it more.
And they do, I mean, they post so much more now. It used to be just like the side and maybe a total. Now it's player props, futures, sides. They will post futures, but they're not up yet. Anybody you had in mind once futures do get hung?
Man, I really wanted an over-under on Bronny James for that California Classic game on Saturday. I think it was the Kings they played. Lakers were 4.5 point, 5 point favorites, and they lost outright. So again, to your point, Kings money line, whatever that was, +200 range came through. But it was all Bronny James specials, 10+ points, 15+ points. And I wanted to bet the over on, I wanted to bet the under rather on his points, rebounds, assists. He wound up with whatever it was, I think 4 points, two assists, two rebounds. So he's a guy that I have in mind, although it might have just been that one game. And I know he's dinged up now. Might have been that one game where now the cat's out of the bag and the number's going to go down a lot more. But I did well last year with some of those, alternates, like just somebody to have 20 plus points. Yeah. Again, it sounds weird. I would be aggressive the first 2, 3 days and then tail off because then those numbers start to catch up. Then guys start to not play or play less or are in and out of the lineup or whatever. But there were some guys, I wish I had specific names on my mind. But there were some guys last year that like the first couple of days, there were some good, like +300 to score 15 or 20 points that were getting there. And you only need to cash so many, if you're playing two of those and you split, you're doing well. If you can find a handful of those that, by game three or four, a lot of these guys that were cashing like +300 to score 20 points, it was now -110. Will they, won't they score 20 points? So I would try and find some of those guys early. And that's what I'm in the process of kind of sifting through those rosters for. Where are some teams that have standout guys without much else? And then the teams that you find with a lot of depth that have good balance, those are the teams you actually want to bet on the spread, bet on the money line.
Any of these NBA moves move the needle? Obviously, George to the Phillies, the big headline, but does anything, did anything that happened trigger a bet or will trigger a bet, whether it's a future, an over under, which the wins would be up, I think, within the next week or so. I remember they came out this time last year, but anything trigger a bet for you?
Yeah, mid-July, we should start to see those win totals. I don't have much yet. It's really early. I will say maybe an under on the Sixers. They've done a lot. I like what they've done because I'm not going to tear them down for getting Paul George and getting some decent role players around him. So I'm not going to say they did anything wrong. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think Philly's going to win the East. But what I do think is that this has to be the, like, they keep taking a step forward and two back and one forward and another one back. So, like, this feels to me like a year Embiid's not going to care about MVP. They're going to rest him. They're going to keep Paul George in shape for the playoffs. Like, Maxey's the one guy young enough to go balls to the wall, I guess. But I want to see what that Sixers win total is going to be because I might eye an under on that. I know they have a lot of hype, and I think they're going to really protect themselves in the regular season to make sure that they are healthy and have what they need for the postseason.
Yeah, the one I'm going to be looking to jump on is the Clippers under because I remember they were like 43 and a half, 44 and a half last year. I guess you got to dock them like 3 wins for Paul George. I mean, Kawhi, he's going to miss 20, 30 games at some point. He's their best player. Their second best player is James Harden. To me, I mean, there's a chance. I mean, you can't rule out they trade Kawhi because they have none of their assets, they have none of their picks, and they're headed towards a bad season. So a Kawhi injury, a Kawhi trade,
What are you thinking? 41 there?
40, 39 and a half, maybe.
Ooh, okay.
Which is, I mean, it's cutting it short, but the West is so good. The West is so good.
People are gonna look at anything less than 41 and say that's under 500, and they have Kawhi and Harden, and it's too low. And so that's a nice kind of contrarian under as well,
I
maybe.
mean, they have like half, they have half of Kawhi or a third of, I mean,
Yeah.
Kawhi, it's amazing. He's playing in the Olympics, which I didn't realize. So I'm the Clippers, like, man, I know the playoffs were a couple months ago, but you couldn't play for us in the playoffs, but now you're good to go in the Olympics. I paid you all this money. You never finished the season. That would bother me.
Yep, that would bother me as well.
Well, NFL, what opinions do you have that go away from the consensus? What have you bet? What are some NFL thoughts as we get closer here?
I don't have a ton of NFL thoughts, which I like because I like to in the past I've done well with futures in the past, but I've also played too many of them at times. And I've been slowing down the last couple of years in the NFL, and what really turned my season around last year, I was down 10 units or so at the midpoint of the season, and wound up having a really good year by the end of the playoffs, was just betting less, picking my spots and going heavier on those spots, game or two a week. So I probably been the fewest amount of opinions I've had in the futures market. I did, now that the Eagles are at plus money, I bet them under. I know they're a very popular over. I'm going against the grain a little bit there. I can't get that 1-6 finish out of my head from last year. And I know that they've addressed some of that in the offseason. Like, oh, we're getting burned in the secondary. We're going to go corner, corner to start our draft. Like, nice, but our two corners going to come in and slow down the Cowboys offense and, some of the other teams on that tough schedule that they play. I know they have, Burrow and Chase on there. Like, I think they're trying to fill a hole, which is nice, and those might develop into two good corners. But to say they're going to come in and fix things right away, they have a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. They got a everybody's got to slide over the line a little bit with Kelce out on the O line. Hurts had some issues with his receivers last year. I mean, like on the sideline issues. By the end of the regular season, they were 30th in points allowed. And then they just got smoked in that playoff game down in Tampa. I'm going with the under on the Eagles is one thing that I have played, and I want to get the right number because I think once Hard Knocks starts, people are going to start betting the Bears. I want to get a good under on the Bears, like 9 flat. I think we're 8.5 right now on DraftKings. 9 flat. Maybe it pushes. I don't see that losing at 10-7 for the Bears. Despite how they've loaded up. So those are two win totals that I'm looking at, but I haven't done much so far.
Yeah, Philly is to me the most confusing team in the league. Because if you tell me right now, hey, they bounced back last year, the second half just caught up to them. The best version of them, like people are explaining, they had Barkley, they had all these draft picks, and they're like 13-4, and they're the one seed. I wouldn't be too surprised. They almost won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But if you told me, hey, they were 9-8, and the defense just never fixed itself. Hurts ends up being the kind of mediocre player we thought maybe he was coming into. His NFL career, and he gets hurt, and they can't do the tush push anymore. No Kelce, I would buy that too. So to me, they're very confusing. I don't know what to make of them, and I agree. I've heard a lot of people pick them to win the division, which I think is a fate of Dallas, which I agree with. But people are just a little too quick to forgive that last 7-8 game stretch, which was not bad. It was alarmingly bad, I would say.
And I'll say one more thing on the Eagles. They went obviously 11, they won 11 games last year. 8 of them were one possession games. So I'm not even sure, they fell off the rails late. But if a couple more of those games earlier, like you remember that Kansas City primetime game,
Dropped the ball on a
MVS had
Monday
the
night.
drop.
The Bills with Diggs wasn't looking the right way or whatever. Yeah.
I had KC in that game, the Bills game, you'll recall. So, like, let's just say 2 plays go the other way in the Bills and Kansas City games. Well, now they are that 9-8 team that you're talking about last year already.
How are what are the sentiments around the Patriots? I know you're close to there. You live close to there. Is it a lock? The market seems to think it's a lock. Brissett's going to start week one. I look at it and I was like, man, the Patriots, if you believe the reports, they turned down a hell of a lot for that pick. So they must not like May. They must love May. I'm not. I wouldn't be shocked if May starts week one, or is that off base and it's definitely Brissett.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. However, the last time they did this, and it was going to be Cam Newton, going to be Cam Newton, going to be Cam Newton, cut Cam Newton, start Mac Jones. Mac Jones was good as a rookie, but
Yeah, he
look where he
was.
ultimately wound up. I think with that so fresh, and you know, you can't blow the 15th overall pick in 2021 and then the third overall pick in 2024 on the same position trying to replace Brady. I feel like they got to handle this with a little more bubble wrap. Not to mention Drake May just younger as well than Mac Jones, and Mac Jones taking over a team that was just a year removed from Brady and had more pieces. The pieces aren't necessarily there for Drake May. I hear what you're saying, but I think there's some differences that maybe suggest that this will take a little bit more time and a little bit more easing in. So the 4.5 win total, I don't know. They're going to be bad. I don't know if they're going 4, 5, whatever. No opinion there. But we do have Drake May passing yards up at like 2,400.
Saw that.
I'm kind of going to fade just how much he plays. So I like under on Drake May's passing yards. And again, when you're betting this somewhere like at DraftKings versus other places, a lot of places are must start week one for action or must play week one for action. This is just take a snap in the 2024 season. So like, what if they really are riding this with Brissett? What if and the Patriots have a really late bye? What if this is just Drake May playing the last like 5, 6 games of the year? Again, this is not about yards per game or whatever. This is more about when Drake May is going to play. I don't mind an under on Drake May's season-long passing yards. I think they might be a little more cautious this time around.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do the math in my head. Even if he doesn't play until like week 6 or 7, 2,400 is a lot, especially rookie, bad offensive line, bad weapons. He's going to be playing in bad weather by the time he comes in. He could always get hurt. Yeah, that 2,400, I
Quarterbacks
didn't.
have been getting slammed behind this offensive line that
Yeah.
is not all that much improved.
Have they been pretty adamant that they are going to play Brissett? Is that why that line is what it is?
Well, so Brissett was on the board. We do the starting quarterback week one starter markets on DraftKings. And I don't have in front of me who's up right now, but it was Brissett in like the high minus 200s for a while. And then the line came out from the Patriots that we're going to go with, you know, Brissett's our starter to start the season. So it got bet up and went off the
Yeah.
board. And now there's this, you know, you got some articles from some reputable beat reporters, kind of like you did, alluding back to the Mac Jones situation, saying maybe Drake May can start the season, or Drake May. What I question, I guess, is if they're hearing that Drake May is winning the job, or if they're just watching and saying, oh, Drake May is the most talented quarterback on this team. Well, he should be. But the whole point is that you're not going to start the most talented quarterback because you don't want to ruin him and let him get smashed out there, like guys recently have for the Patriots. So I'm of the belief that, you know, you got this whole new staff in there. They can afford a little bit of cushion here. They don't have to come out and play Drake May and like
Right.
try to win their jobs in week one. They want to be sitting him almost buys them time of, oh, okay, well, this team stinks, but we haven't seen Drake May yet. I am of the belief, and again, this is just connecting the dots, not information or not having seen any practices or anything. I'm of the belief that the Patriots might take this slower with Drake May than we all think.
Yeah, the only reason I don't take them at face value is because I could see a scenario where they don't want to put pressure on May where. Let's just say they have the mindset or they have the approach or they tell the media, hey, it's going to be an open battle for the number one spot. And then May loses the job. Then you're starting May's career on a negative where if you set the expectation, hey, it's Brissett's job and then May wins it, it's almost like a soft landing. So who knows? Any of these awards you think are worth betting, whether it's Rookie of the Year, MVP, anything catch your eye? Yeah, I know you like to get involved in these awards markets.
Man, my DeMar Hamlin Comeback Player of the Year award has scarred me for a little while here, from looking at the awards market. That was a hefty loss. Joe Flacco, man. I haven't gotten involved in awards yet. I think it's a tough rookie class to do so. I will say it creates a little bit of value on the board anytime you have a guy like Caleb Williams as high as he is. And just like I'm kind of waiting on the Bears to get an under, maybe I'll wait on Rookie of the Year because people are going to watch Hard Knocks and be like, yeah, this kid's a stud. This team's going to be good. Maybe he takes even more money and comes down even more than he already has. I don't do much preseason. I generally just don't do well with preseason awards picks. I just think it's such an advantage that we used to not have years ago, where it's just live throughout the season, all over the place. Like, what better gauge than getting involved? Both, you can make the case for both early and late on a lot of these awards markets. I don't know if I'll bet anything awards wise. I just think it's such a great advantage to be able to bet them throughout the season, based on a guy having a great game, a bad game, an injury, whatever.
Last one before we get out of here, college. Any prevailing thoughts, teams you think are overrated, underrated? I think you said you have bets for week one, so just kind of empty the notebook here. What do you got here in college?
I'll start with the future, and then I'll go week one. Future, it's a popular one. It's OK State. I got as much 7.5 over as I could, or 8 on DK right now. I think there's alternates, so you can still buy the juicy 7.5. I'll do an article on this at some point. It'll be my biggest win total in college football. I'll probably split it up, some 7.5 and some 8, given the price now. But 8 feels like the floor to me. And I really like Utah coming into that conference. I think I love Kyle Whittingham. I love how they play. Offensive, defensive lines will be really good. These other Big 12 teams won't have seen much of them. I feel like Utah can come in and make a lot of noise there. But OK State's going to be good. Team that got into the Big 12 title game against Texas last year. And they have a ton of returning experience. I know Ollie Gordon just had the DUI, but he had the media day, and apparently this is going to be an internal team punishment, and he's good to go. We're going to sweep this right under the rug.
Run some sprints, kid. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do a couple suicides and some 40-yard dashes and get back out there. They have, I think, Phil Steele. I got my magazine in front of me. I think he ranks Oklahoma State like the 4th best O-line. You got that O-line with that running back. You're bringing back veteran quarterback play. Schedule sets up pretty good. You got some tough pick-ems against K-State and Utah, but otherwise, like, I think that OK State can be like a 9-10 win team. So 8's fine by me. Week one.
Are you sprinkling on Big 12, by the way, for Oak State?
So I bet opening numbers on Utah and Oklahoma State. So I have good. I have Utah plus 410 and OK State at 14-1.
Ooh, that's a nice number.
So, like, I'm good. I feel bad giving out, like, what it's currently at. But again,
you should feel bad. You really should.
If you're telling me to bet the Big 12, I'm betting Utah and OK State, even at the current prices. So let's get a Utah versus OK State so I can just sit back. One thing, I think DraftKings is first to market with this. One thing that I love betting every year, you hate, and again, you can always hedge it and whatnot, but like, you hate betting a team to win the conference and they get there and lose. And again, you can hedge it, but we have the market up to win divisions or to make conference title game. Whatever it may be, given divisions are kind of getting abolished now, but to make conference title games is up for like everything on DraftKings. So worth taking a look at. Georgia minus 160 to make the SEC title game. That always jumps out. But again, they should be favored in the game, so I don't mind them 2-1 to win the SEC if we're going down that rabbit hole. But yeah, week one, I've done a few things. I bet, Minnesota in that opening Thursday game. I got them when they were slightly dogs. Now they're small favorites hosting UNC. UNC, I guess, is supposed to be better than Minnesota this year overall, but that's a Thursday night game at home to open the season for Minnesota. Minnesota, one of the top 20 most experienced teams in the nation. UNC, one of the least experienced teams in the nation. So tough starting point there. On the Saturday card, couple of home dogs. I went West Virginia plus 10.5 hosting Penn State. They played that one at Penn State last year. West Virginia was covering. James Franklin ran the cover play at the end of the game.
Sure.
Now West Virginia's at home. I think they should be able to keep this tight. And then I haven't put this one out yet. I'm going to be Florida. I'm going to be Gators at home. Gators at home against Miami. Everybody thinks because of that 4.5 win total that they stink, right? And I just put a tweet out about this today. Are they going to be bad, or do they just have a historically bad schedule? It's just historically bad schedule. Phil Steele's got him a top 20 team in his magazine, just based off power ratings. Not that they're going to be ranked top 20, but just ranking how good you are. So you're saying you open it up as a home dog against a Miami team that can be, they got the talent, but we all know how they're as shaky gets when things get tight. I'm really warming up to Florida in that opener. What else? Two more. I'll be quick. The LSU USC total. That's the Sunday night game in Vegas. 62. I played over. No defenses. A lot of offense. I think we'll see a shootout indoors there in Vegas, neutral field. If you wanted me to pick a side too, I would go plus 6.5 with USC. I like what we saw from the quarterback last year, and LSU is probably going to take a bigger step back without Jaden Daniels. Monday night one, I did take BC. I took the 21.5 with BC at FSU. BC played FSU tough in the red bandana game last year in Chestnut Hill. Probably should have won, but lost by, I think it was 2. FSU opens the season in Dublin in week 0 against a decent Georgia Tech team. So now they're going to come home, and I know it is Saturday to Monday, so it's not a week. You got the 9 days, but you're coming from a week 0 game in Ireland back to Florida to play BC, who's preparing for their first game, getting more than 3 touchdowns there with BC, who I don't mind their quarterback, Castellanos. I was at that bowl game against SMU. It was
well.
Pouring rain at Fenway Park. I was in a box. I certainly would have not have gone if it was the peasant seats. But I liked what I saw from him. BC, more than 3 touchdowns, I'll take it.
Julian, you're the best, man. Appreciate a few minutes here. It was good to finally get you on. Let everyone know where they can find you.
On Twitter at Julian Edlow. And again, if you follow along, the Sweat, normal show on VSiN and DK Network just concluded. So we're kind of revamping the DK Network website. So I will be all over a lot more written content starting up in the next month or so. So keep an eye out for that.
All right. Appreciate a few minutes. Hopefully we'll do this again soon.
All right. Anytime that I'm free, contact my assistant.
Sounds good. All right. That will do it. Thank you to Julian Edlow. We will be back Friday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Friday.